And tonight, our special guest is Simeon Hine, and we are going to be talking about Crop Circle's remote viewing and really something with a different twist tonight. So stand by on Coast to Coast AM. Dr. Simeon Hine is the director of the Institute for Resonance in Boulder, Colorado. The Institute now is devoted to the study of subtle energy sciences, including remote viewing, crop circles, and related subjects. Dr. Hine has a PhD in sociology. Dr. Hine first learned remote viewing in 1996 and subsequently became involved in crop circle research. He believes that all crop circles, regardless of their origin, create magical effects by virtue of their shape and their subtle interaction between us, plants, and sacred geometry. In addition to assisting with the Institute for Resonance, Crop Circle Tours, he continues to teach remote viewing in Boulder and in Japan. Simeon's most recent book is Planetary Intelligence 101, Easy Steps to Energy, Well-Being, and Natural Insight, a simple primer for anyone interested in connecting to subtle energies on a daily basis. Our guest on Coast to Coast, Simeon Hine. Hello, Doctor. How are you?
Well, hey, George. How are you tonight?
Good to have you with us. You know, this is interesting because you bring to this field a different twist with your thoughts on sacred geometry, especially through your Institute for Resonance. Explain what that is.
Well, George, you know, we all went to school, some of us longer than others, and the educational system that we learned what we know from is really based on a certain set of assumptions from a mechanistic paradigm. And a lot of the information that we need nowadays, a lot of the knowledge that we need, is really based in a kind of an older, slower type of knowledge that's based on shapes, geometry, natural systems, and so forth. And when you look at how nature builds systems just around us in places we live and in the outdoors, you can see that nature has kind of an inherent intelligence. There's like an intelligence built into all sorts of living systems. And that intelligence often seems to be based around sacred geometry and shapes, like the phi ratio, the golden section. And these are things that people a long time ago knew about, but we seem to have forgotten about in the last few hundred years.
You know, I found interesting in your introduction because it says you believe that all crop circles, and here's the key here, regardless of their origin, create magical effects by virtue of their shapes and their interaction. Regardless of their origin, what do you think in terms of that phrase alone is going on here in the crop circle phenomena?
Well, George, back in 1996 when I first learned about crop circles, it actually came out of the remote viewing course I took at the Farsight Institute with Dr. Courtney Brown.
Oh, sure.
Of Emory University, right. And in his eight-day course, you know, one of the last things we viewed was crop circles. And at the time, I didn't even know what they were. But in my viewing session, I got information that was really some of the strangest stuff I've ever written down in a remote viewing session. I mean, it was about all sorts of energies going in and out of a field, and there were these little sort of beings that didn't seem quite human walking around in this field, and things related to UFOs, and it was really strange. And so when I had the chance to go on a crop circle tour later on with Ron Russell, I thought I would figure out, you know, what these crop circles were about. And for years and years, I really thought that there was absolutely no way that human beings could make these because, you know, they're just so huge. No one had ever seen anyone doing this.
Right.
And in England, the nighttime is very short there. You've got about 5 hours of darkness. So for the longest time, I didn't think people could make them until recently, more recently, around the year 2000, when we were actually approached by some circle makers who offered, of all things, to show us how they made circles, just in the daytime at least, in a paid field where the farmer was there for an advertisement, just to show us that they could actually make something. And that began to change my idea about the origin of the crop circles. I mean, you've heard the stories before. Colin Andrews has been on the show in the past. The circles that form very quickly, 10 to 15 seconds.
Yes, and they sometimes see a vortex over them.
Exactly.
And
the wheat seems to begin to shake a little bit,
yeah,
and then all of a sudden just goes down into a circle very quickly. And Colin has a database of about 50 people that, you know, have signed their names into this database that say they've seen this actually happen. Those are actually mostly simple circles or groups of circles. And in more recent times, we've had these complex patterns, you know, the ones that are really huge. Some of them recently have been up to 800 feet across. And for the longest time, I just thought people couldn't do anything remotely that big at night, maybe the small ones. But it turned out, in my view, to be the reverse. It seemed that the people were doing some of the bigger ones, and that the smaller ones were what we call the original phenomena, which we still don't know exactly what's causing those, but they do seem to be related to UFOs and anomalous sort of weather patterns and things like that.
When you were watching the individuals make them during the daytime, how long did it take them, Simeon, to make a crop circle?
The first one we saw was actually a kind of a stylized pattern. It was in the shape of an R in a kind of an at sign for an internet company. And that one took about 4 or 5 hours in the daytime. It really didn't prove anything at all because, I mean, it was in the daylight, and it still took 5 hours for them to do it. But I could see that actually they knew what they were doing. That's what it showed to me. Those of us that were there could see that at least these folks really kind of, well, they had it down. They knew how to go out in the field with a pattern. They showed us the pattern ahead of time, and then they were able to actually put it down, and they had a pretty good group organization and so forth. So I could see that they were fairly organized, and it wasn't until later on, George, that I actually saw other circle makers make circles at night, and that's what I documented in Opening Minds. I actually had pictures there and there on the Opening Minds website of a pattern at Cheryl, which was, admittedly, just a medium-sized shape. You know, not the hugest one in the world, but it was pretty complicated. And what I found at night is, even at night, they weren't any slower than they were at the daytime. They could actually work well at night because it was kind of a coherent group. They knew each other. They knew the patterns of the other circle makers. They could communicate in the dark with a kind of nonverbal language sometimes, just with movements and with basic signals. They seemed to be pretty good what they were doing, and it showed me that they actually were able to do some of the large ones that we know and enjoy.
But here again, you do not negate the fact that some of these crop circles could be messages or created from some other very strange sources.
No, that's exactly the point, George. You're right on there. I think even the ones that the humans are making are part of a larger language that humans are learning. I think that crop circles are a type of communication. They're not necessarily a message with a particular meaning in each circle, a verbal message, but they're a larger pattern of communication between ourselves and most likely extraterrestrials. Because the original source of the crop circles, let's go back to like Australia in the 1960s, the so-called Tully saucer nest. Some of the original circle makers, Doug and Dave, the so-called two guys from the pub, actually one of them was from Australia, and he saw these Tully saucer nests, which were seen near flying discs also in New Zealand, the same sort of phenomenon at the same time. He was trying to recreate these patterns in England, and he found that it actually attracted a lot of attention. So even the source of the man-made ones recently seems to have come from extraterrestrial sources. And so I'm really convinced, George, that crop circles are the way that extraterrestrials teach humans how to communicate with them in the long run. I really believe it's a type of a language, because if you go out far away from the Earth, they don't speak English or any other language
right.
That we speak on Earth. But I'm sure that every intelligent civilization, just like getting back to your original question at the beginning of the show, every civilization, intelligent civilization, understands the language of geometry and shape. And that's what we're learning about in circles, because even the human circle makers don't know where their patterns come from. If you talk to them and say, well, why did you come up with this pattern? Where does this come from? A lot of them don't really know. It just sort of shows up in their mind. And, you know, coming from what we know about remote viewing, humans have a lot of subconscious intelligence, almost like a genius intelligence that's below the surface. We're capable of coming up with all sorts of intelligence that we don't even know we have, and I think the circle makers are doing that.
Resonance. When I hear that word, I think of vibrations. I think of being in tune with something, whether it's the planet or the solar system or the universe. What does it mean to you, Simeon?
Resonance, you know, it really seems to be one of the fundamental principles that describe subtle energies. And resonance is really not a very far-out concept, George. It's really just how radio waves work. I mean, if you have a radio receiver and someone with a radio transmitter, the signals can go from one space to another seemingly just right through the air if they're tuned to the same frequency, if those two machines, the receiver and the transmitter, are tuned to the same resonance. And so it seems what we've learned from remote viewing and from crop circles and even things like channeling is that if you tune yourself or your environment, like with feng shui, if you tune a space
right.
to a particular shape, you're actually tuning into different frequencies and actually picking up all the other sort of people, objects, places on that particular sort of etheric channel. And just like, well, right around us right now are all the radio signals and cell phone signals and different signals from everywhere right here next to us, but we can't always hear them. If you're tuned to the right frequency, you can pick them up. And the same way, the human subconscious, if it's tuned to a particular frequency, and of course we don't know exactly how the subconscious does that, but when it's tuned to a particular frequency, you pick up spontaneously signals that are, we say, are non-local. Their information is coming from what appears to be a distant source. And so resonance really appears to be the key to a lot of the types of topics that we hear about on Coast from night to night, etheric communications, extraterrestrial sort of communications, all sorts of that sort of spooky, strange stuff actually seems to have a scientific basis if you start to look at it.
What's so fascinating about this entire field, too, Simeon, is that years ago, the late, great Nikola Tesla, he understood vibrations. He understood resonance. He knew that you could topple a building if you worked out the correct wavelength formula. He knew you could aim one of his apparatuses, his inventions at this, and if he created the right wave or vibration, he could knock it down.
Right.
What a genius he was. And I guess it could be used for just about anything.
No, that's right. And I think we all have this ability spontaneously to kind of figure this stuff out that Tesla figured out. It just seems, I mean, you kind of alluded to this in the first hour of the show with Richard, is that there seems to be certain forces in our own society that don't want us to figure this out.
True.
And those of us that are working in this area know that the key to successful human habitation of our own planet has to do with finding a kind of a more harmonious, natural way to coexist with nature, with each other, with the technology that we have, so it's not quite so destructive and doesn't have quite such a large footprint, you know, on the Earth. And if we focus a little more on these subtle energy systems, I'm absolutely convinced we'll be able to develop zero-point energy technologies and all sorts of methods for communicating and medical treatment and so forth, which are less invasive and less have less of a negative impact, but give us the benefits and the things that we need to survive. Just do it in a more harmonious, coherent way. And that's really the secret, is the coherency of it.
Have you ever thought that these crop circles might be coming from other dimensions or maybe even parallel universes?
Well, they definitely do have that feeling, George. I mean, they really feel kind of strange. Anyone who's ever been in crop circles knows that something else is going on there. And look, we wouldn't all be going back to the circles, they're mostly in England, summer after summer, if there wasn't something going on there. I mean, something about them attracts us to go back again and again. And there's something downright spooky about some of them, and other ones just feel absolutely fantastic to be in. But if you go in these crop circles at night, particularly what I found, you really feel that there's something else there. You almost feel like you're being watched, like it's almost like a transmitter of some sort, and someone from somewhere else, wherever they are, can actually perceive you or whoever else is with you in that circle. So it definitely has that feeling of tuning into another reality or a parallel dimension. And again, even the man-made ones have that feeling too. I'm not going to say that it's just the other type. I mean, all of them seem to have this feeling because, like we're saying, you know, they're tuning to a particular resonance, a frequency. Just like the whole idea of cymatics. I'm sure you're familiar with that concept, the way shapes generate sounds or sounds. You know, you've seen some of those videos with Dr. Hans Jenny from Switzerland. He would kind of broadcast sounds in
right.
sand on a metal plate, and it just formed these spontaneous shapes, these coherent shapes. That's the same idea with the crop circles, is that precision of the shape, the symmetry, allows it to act very much like a technology, like a very advanced, subtle energy technology. And the amazing thing to me is that humans have this natural ability to figure out which shapes are going to create that resonance. Not every single one of them does, but as we can talk about later on in the show, you know, you go into some of these crop circles, George, and like your equipment stops working. I've seen it happen so many times, and it's one of the strangest things you could see, because we think of the machines we have in our lives as, you know, very dependable and reliable. You turn them on, they always work. But you go into a crop circle, they don't work so well anymore.
Well, and the chaff from the wheat bent down in certain ways, I mean, that you couldn't do manually. It's just very strange. But at what point, Simeon, are we going to break this code of whatever these geometric messages might be? I mean, what's taking people on this planet so long to try to decipher just what the heck they're trying to tell us?
No, that's a good question. And I think part of it has to do with our willingness to accept other types of intelligence. George, it really has to do with our feeling comfortable with our own states of consciousness, our own mentality. You know, if you talk to any of the remote viewers that have been on the show from time to time,
sure,
they'll all say that when you're doing remote viewing, it feels like you're almost talking to somebody different inside your mind. It almost feels like there's an alien talking to you because it feels like it's coming from such a different source. But it's not an alien. I mean, it's you. It's your own subconscious mind. But we can be so alienated, so to speak, from our own subconscious that it feels like a very different thing. But it's really the part of ourselves that we don't know very well. So part of the reason that the in-super resonance that we stress learning things like remote viewing so heavily is that it teaches you about yourself, and that's really the whole point. And the more we get to know ourselves, the parts of our consciousness that we don't normally admit that are ourselves, but they are, the more we feel comfortable with that aspect of ourselves, the more we'll feel comfortable with the other types of intelligence in the universe. And, you know, these crop circles are like amazing puzzles. I'm telling you, you sit there and look at these during the summer, and then later on they're in wonderful crop circle calendars and other ways of looking at them. You try to figure out what they mean, George. I mean, and you just can't because they're from another place. They just don't fit in any of the paradigms. You know, crop circles are like paradigm busters. If you think that you can explain them, something's going to come along and just totally, reduce your ability to explain it from that point of view. I mean, if you think that they're all alien-made, right, which some of them are, you know, I've got some human friends I'd like you to meet sometime, and you can come out with us at night, and you can see if you think they're all alien-made. But if you think they're all man-made, there are obviously some that aren't, and it doesn't really fit either paradigm. It's kind of like a hybrid. And I think that's the direction that we're going in with our status in the universe, realizing, you know, it's pretty clear that we're not alone. But to deal with the other types of intelligence in the universe that admittedly are going to feel pretty strange to us at first, we first need to feel comfortable with our own planet and with ourselves and the way we relate, you know, to our whole environment. So the crop circles almost seem like a device to prod us out of the mechanistic paradigm that we're so comfortable with, the kind of the linear, rationalistic, mechanistic paradigm where we only look at objects, and begin to look at processes in natural systems, in this case, very organized, coherent shapes in wheat. And believe me, it does a lot of strange things to your mind, but I think that's the point.
I hope these messages, though, Simeon, aren't like the Twilight Zone show To Serve Man, where at the end we finally find out what the heck this means, and, you know, maybe they're sending us cookbook recipes for us or something like that.
Well, yeah, I hope so. I hope, George, you're right. I mean, I don't think that they have a negative meaning. I think they'll only progress as fast as we're willing to progress. But I encourage people to experiment with crop circles in lots of different forms. I really think they're for us more than they are for the extraterrestrials. I mean, they could be like landing signs, like in the movie Signs. I mean, you remember that movie a couple of years ago, and it was like a really negative meaning to these crop circles. They're like a place where the aliens were going to land and then take over the Earth, and I don't think that's what they are. But we don't really totally know what they are. What we know is that they do very strange things to your equipment, your cameras. I mean, you go in there with your batteries and your laptops, and you're going to find that your batteries may not work for 2, 3, 4 weeks after you've been in a crop circle, brand new batteries.
Is it a scary feeling?
It can be, because it's one thing to go in there by yourself and see your own devices stop working. I mean, you can kind of rationalize that and explain it away. I mean, maybe you just had old batteries, right? But what happens when everybody who comes into that crop circle, like I've seen, everybody's batteries stop working within a minute or two of going into the circle. And all of a sudden, you've got a lot of people there without any of their devices working anymore. It's a very strange feeling because we've become very dependent on our technology. We're used to it working. And all of a sudden, you're there with these other folks, and the crop circle is taking out your batteries and your cameras. And it causes you to think for a second what's really going on here.
When we come back, tell us a little bit more about what happens, physically happens, in these crop circles, to the soil, to the plants, as you said, your equipment. What about people who stand there? Linda Moulton Howe used to walk around crop circles all the time. I don't think anything happened to her. We'll be back. Well, in a moment, we'll be back with Dr. Simeon Hine. We'll continue to talk about crop circles, but far more deeper than that when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. Simeon, some people are sending me messages saying we need to take children into crop circles. They have more vivid imaginations. They may see things adults can't see. Interesting twist, huh?
No, absolutely. And if you take pets or dogs in there, they have a different reaction to it also. And, George, I'm wondering something. You know, the last time that you and I talked on this show, you spontaneously remote viewed something in my condo. And I'm wondering if you're going to do that again this time, because I really want to neaten up my place before you start using your subtle energy senses.
I may do that, because I hit it right on the head last time.
That's right, absolutely.
So, yeah, we may try that again. I want to talk about some of the things that occur with crop circles. And then we have posted on the coasttocoastam.com website, Simeon, the experiment that you did some time ago. And I want you to explain that. But in the crop circles, tell us things that are unusual, things that a human being cannot create in one of these ET or outside of our own world crop circles?
Well, let me explain that a little bit, because it's a good question. One of the things that we find in many of the crop circles are these so-called magically bent stalks, where it looks like kind of an energy has kind of gone over the stalk of wheat, and it looks kind of bent over, like it wasn't crushed or anything. It was just kind of bent by some sort of heating. Some researchers have found a sort of a crystallinity in the soil that you normally don't find in a field like that. There are these kind of bent and exploded nodes. Colin Andrews, together with another engineer, once found that in a particular circle, that magnetic north had moved 3 degrees off of where it, true north was, so that actually the crop circle seemed to have changed the magnetic field within that area. And we've also found, using our static meter, that there are these kind of changes in the static gradient. And there are lots of other sort of effects that people see from time to time in the crop circles. But I want to make one thing clear, George, is that even though the human circle makers don't set out to intentionally make those effects, we find those effects in the human-made circles, too. We found it in even some of our own.
You do?
Yes, we do.
That's unusual.
There are pictures of that on the Opening Minds website. You know, people can click through the Coast to Coast site and click on the link for pictures. You have some of the pictures of our Kansas experiment, which we'll talk about in a second. But we have found some of these bent nodes in our own circles, and we thought that that was due to, way back, some sort of heating of the plants by whatever plasma energy was out there in the field, or perhaps the propulsion systems of the extraterrestrial craft. But we now think our best guess is that the circle itself is generating some sort of energy that's affecting the plants, and or the sun is coming into the crop circle in a different way, because the plants are all lying down now in a horizontal direction, and they're refracting the light in a different way. And I suspect that the crop circle itself is acting like a photonic crystal, just the way many crystals refract light and kind of take certain bandwidth of the light out and only let some of the light through. I think that the structure and the shape of the crop circle actually makes it act like a crystal, and in this case maybe a photonic crystal, so that it's actually, you know, just like a phonograph needle changing a vibration into electricity or vice versa, or lots of other things that crystals do, that the crop circle acts like a liquid crystal. You know, you can imagine all the stalks of wheat are now pointing in a coherent direction. They're all swirled around in spirals, just like sacred geometry, like we were talking about in the last segment. And it really has a lot of the elements of a liquid crystal, just like the liquid crystals in your flat screen display in your laptop. You know, all those little pixels are moving in relationship to the electricity that's coming across the latticework of your screen. Well, in the same way, if you have the wheat being pushed down, it's creating the inverse effect. It's actually, using the piezoelectric effect, it's actually pushing down on these grains, just like they're grains in a crystal, orienting them in a very coherent shape and direction. And then that creates some sort of energy, just like when you vibrate the stylus in a phonograph needle, it generates electricity. So it very well could be acting just like a crystal. And George, you could see the crop circle almost like a coherent shock wave. into the field, because either people have come along and pushed down a lot of wheat, and believe me, it's a lot of wheat. It takes a long time to make one of these in the daytime or at nighttime. It's like a disturbance in the field, but just like in sacred geometry, it's a coherent disturbance. And that coherent disturbance actually begins to affect the living material of the wheat to actually make patterns of energy form that you don't normally see in a wheat field. At least that's my best guess about what's going on from what we know.
Is there anything unusual about the placement of these crop circles on the planet? If you were to look at it from high above, would it be on a certain degrees, a certain kind of latitude that might have some kind of connection?
Well, that's a good question, and I'm almost tempted to say, like Richard might have said, that it's oriented at a 19.2 degree axis on the planet, but I don't think it is. But, you know, George, we see a lot of these around sacred sites, at least in England, and it seems like something about the energy of those areas where you get sacred sites, you almost get a conditioned space like Dr. William Tiller would talk about, you know, where you have these sacred areas, people are meditating and focusing their intention. And that could condition the space that makes it more amenable for that sort of for the crop circles and the energy they create. And we're actually going back next summer to investigate that very question with the so-called REG devices, random event generators. And we want to measure if the crop circles and or the sacred sites actually affect our random event generators, and we're doing this with Roger Nelson from Princeton. And we're calling it Project Avebury because we're going to go to Avebury, this ancient city. It's one of the oldest cities in Europe. I mean, it was a city when England was still connected to Europe before the
right.
Ice Age. And we want to see if these sacred sites and the crop circles and if we do a group meditation actually affects these random event generators. So it's a good question. It's something we'll actually be able to measure a little bit if there's a correlation between the sacred site and the crop circle.
We've got the ability to do instant polling, and what I want to ask our coast-to-coast listeners via Fast Blast, and even though most crop circles are made by human beings, even if just one is made by an outside extraterrestrial-type source, that makes it all very unusual. So when I ask this question, just keep that in mind. I'm going to ask you if you believe crop circles are made by man or extraterrestrial sources. And again, that definition of an extraterrestrial source, at least for this poll, would be at least one. So that's a yes or no, and just put down man or extraterrestrial, and I'll add them all up before we're off the air tonight, Simeon, and we'll see
sure.
what the results are. I'd just like to get my take. I don't know if there's ever been a real poll done on people to simply ask them what they think of crop circles. Have you seen anything?
No, it's a great idea. You know, that's exactly what we need. We need to get more real data. I mean, what do people think about this? And I'd love to see the results.
Yeah, you know, do they think it's all hogwash? Do they think it's real? Let's find out.
Yeah,
great
idea.
We'll get that. Now, you have supplied us with a picture taken in June of 2002 with what we call a small crop circle in Kansas, and there's some anomalous lights appearing around the photo. Explain this to us.
Well, George, this is one of the strangest things I've ever seen in and around crop circles, because we had permission to make a very small one in Kansas a couple of years ago, and it was a very small circle. I'm talking about 10 feet across. It only took us about 10 minutes. And myself and Ron Russell and one other fellow, we went out and we made this circle, and we took some pictures of it. There was nothing especially strange going on. It didn't affect any of our batteries or anything like that. But when Ron developed the slides, he found that most of them were completely black. Now, all the other slides on the roll of film were fine, before and after the crop circle pictures.
Yeah.
But a lot of the ones that we took of the crop circle were black. The camera had never done that before, and it was an F3 Nikon, you know, professional.
Okay, and we're sure he didn't open up the back and expose the film by mistake.
Nope.
Okay.
But then the other ones, as you can see in the photos of our Kansas circle, which is on the Coast site and on the Opening Minds website, you can see that something very strange happened to those photos. There are these very strange lights in some of the photos. Some of them seem to be refracted in the same way, in a weird way, almost like at 90 degrees, like a refraction of the light. And in other photos, it's kind of blurry. And I think the ones that Lex put up on your site show some of these anomalous sort of orange-yellow light patterns coming in to the slides. Now, that camera has never done anything else like that before or after that crop.
It's like you're getting beamed from something by something. Wouldn't it be interesting, Simeon, if this light source was indeed the cause of the crop circle that you can't see with the human eye?
Yeah, that would be true. I mean, it's like something coming in there, but in this case, we actually made that one. I mean, we were there. We know that it's man-made, and I suspect that the circle that we made there, and this is why we make them, to see if we can recreate
the
anomaly.
Like you said earlier, maybe the circle itself is some kind of almost magnetic in a way.
Yes.
It attracts this.
Exactly. It's exactly right. It attracts some sort of energy. And the camera picked it up. We couldn't see it with our eyes, but just like, you know, a lot of times people see UFOs and the photos they develop, you know, they're on the Coast website all the time. Maybe there was something there that our eyes couldn't see, but the camera picked up. And just like you're suggesting, the circle attracted this sort of energy, you know, because some of them look like they're almost dancing across the field there.
Yes.
And we're not the only ones that have picked this up, George. David Kingston, several years ago, I saw him give a presentation about this in England at the Glastonbury Crop Circle Conference. Very similar sort of thing. He just had this feeling in a crop circle of unknown origin to start taking pictures. And when he developed them, some of them showed these weird light patterns that look very similar to what we found in Kansas. So I suspect that some of these circles, again, for whatever reason, they're acting like crystals or magnetic attractors or refracting light or something. They're attracting an energy or changing energy, and the camera picks it up, but we don't know what it is and if it's related to what affects our batteries. But there's something energetic going on in those crop circles, and it's a very important scientific discovery because if you think about it, if you can create that type of energy, I mean, it took hundreds of years to go from, you know, Benjamin Franklin flying his kite in a thunderstorm to go into electricity that we can use nowadays. But maybe that's what we're talking
about.
They
look almost like big orbs or something.
Yeah.
Very strange.
Yeah, very strange.
And nobody felt sick or anything being in crop circles, whether they were man-made or otherwise?
Yes, people do get sick sometimes. I've been in some after a day. I feel really exhausted and tired.
Nauseous?
Yes, nauseous. Some of them make you feel elated and exuberant. We don't recommend that people with pacemakers go into crop circles because we don't know exactly what the effect is going to be. And they all make you feel slightly different. And there are even stories of people who've had bottles of water in some of the ones that made them feel strange, drinking that water a couple days later, and it made them feel the same effect again, almost as if it was like a homeopathic effect on the water. So we're dealing with something that we don't know what's going on exactly, but it has a different effect, and you can go into them and feel very different depending on the shape and the size and so forth. But again, it's a lot of unknowns we're dealing with here, and we don't know why they have that effect. The particular ones affect us all differently.
And this has been going on for how long, crop circles?
Well, you know, they seem to be going on for hundreds of years. We know that there are reports back from the 1700s in England of the so-called mowing devil, where in these kind of woodcuts, there seem to be references to crops getting cut down at night, but those were cut down. And the Native Americans in North America refer to fairy circles. And in the Book of Noah from the Dead Sea Scrolls, there are references to strange markings in the fields at night. So we don't know exactly what those are. There's Terry Wilson's book, The Secret History of Crop Circles, which goes into a 100-year history of crop circles going way back to the turn of the century, last turn of the century. And we don't know exactly what those are, but they've been appearing for a while. And so something's been doing them, but we don't know exactly who or what.
And the energy that's there, tell me about the instruments again, even though you had trouble with it. Do you see some incredible anomalies, you know, spikes or anything like that?
Yeah, you do. If you have a static meter, sometimes you'll see it really spike up quite a bit. And that's very interesting to see because you could walk in with it at kind of a constant height. And above the field where the stalks are standing, it doesn't move very much. But as soon as you go into the crop circle, it begins to jump around in a very wild way. And that's really interesting to show beginners, to show people who have never been in crop circles before, that, you know, that really is something different about the crop circle space. And that's one of the ways that we can kind of show what's going on. And then there's sometimes these magnetic effects and these kind of crystalline effects in the soil. But there's a lot more work to be done, George, to find out exactly what's going on here. I mean, it's something that we don't totally understand. I almost feel like we need a tricorder from Star Trek, you know, that they used to use on Star Trek to kind of detect the presence of aliens
yes.
and non-physical intelligence. I love that device. And I really,
when I go into
this crossroads, I want a tricorder because I'm sure the tricorder could pick up what it is. But it's like this tantalizing mystery that keeps us going back and, I mean, keeps a lot of us interested in this phenomenon. I mean, what exactly is it that you create a shape in a field, human or otherwise, and it creates these very strange electromagnetic and possibly, if we can detect it, a quantum effect that just seems to be due to the shape and the orientation of the wheat. It's something very important and something we really need to find out what it is, because it also attracts, George, these balls of light that I'm sure you've seen pictures of or videos of.
Oh, sure.
UFOs occasionally. Even the circle makers describe very strange lights coming over the field while they're making their crop circle. And they get scared by this. I mean, sometimes they hit the deck because there's so much light coming down from these objects that they think they've been spotted by something or someone. So there's a lot of weird things that happen around these crop circles. And I really suspect that someone is checking out even the ones that humans make. Someone is interested in what the humans are doing with the crop circles. And I suspect that these balls of light, these orbs, there are about 8 or 9 videos of these coming over the field starting from about 1990. They've also, you know, George, they've been seen around the space shuttle and these experimental aircraft.
Oh, absolutely. As a matter of fact, remember when John Glenn went into space?
Yep.
I mean, talking about during the early Mercury missions.
Mm-hmm.
He reported seeing little lights all around the craft. Remember that?
Yes.
I think they were orbs.
Yeah, and I think the Russian cosmonauts reported the same sort of phenomenon.
Yes.
It could be the same orbs that we see in the crop circle.
Our poll is in.
Yes.
And I want you to guess first. And again, the question was, folks, do you think crop circles are made by man or outside/extraterrestrial sources? And what do you think the percent was, Simeon?
I'm guessing that about 60% of the people are saying man-made, maybe about 40%. Extraterrestrial.
You ready?
Sure.
75% believe that the crop circles are made from either ET or outside sources. 25% say man.
Okay, sure. Great.
Pretty dramatic.
Yeah. Yeah, and that shows us that people really are paying attention to this subject and that we've got a lot more research to do to find out exactly, you know, who's doing what. But let me offer another possibility.
Wait a minute. You mean like a third one?
Yeah. How about the idea that humans make them with an extraterrestrial influence on their mind, like human hands, alien brain. Just the idea that maybe these human beings are channeling extraterrestrial ideas. I mean, we don't know where some of these people get their ideas from. These patterns are awfully complicated. So I think it's a possibility that it's both at the same time. I mean, I don't want to kind of avoid the issue, but I think it may be more complex than just one or the other.
Do you find that, you mentioned dogs and the things brought in there, but do you find that most animals are reluctant to walk inside of a crop circle?
You know, there have been reports from time to time of horses that won't go in them. And people say that flocks of birds seem to go around them. And I haven't seen this myself, but I've been in there with dogs. And it's very interesting because the dogs, you know how goofy dogs can be sometimes. These dogs, these seem to run around in a circle forever, around and around, going, of course, with the grain of the wheat. And I don't know what they're following. I think they're going in a straight direction because they're just following the grain of the wheat. They just go around and around it with a super degree of energy, and it's a lot of fun to watch.
A number of websites linked up with Simeon Hine. You can find them all at coasttocoastam.com. Can people email you, Simeon?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, sure. I love to respond to people's emails. There's so many good questions about this. And I often find, because the Coast audience is so educated and aware of these topics, they ask great questions of things I've never even thought of before. So I always encourage those.
They are the best. Hey, when we come back, we're going to talk about remote viewing. And maybe, as I did some time ago when I was on with Simeon, I guessed what he had in his house. I may do that again. You might want to clean it up over the next couple minutes,
okay,
Simeon.
Okay, George.
We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.